It's Sextastic Tuesday.
We're the cocksuckers who can get your rocks off. How about it, stud? Are you looking for real men to bow and bend for? Latin lovers to give it to you real good. Big balls to fill your warm mouth. We've got it all. Every man for every pleasure. Discreet and intimate. Your hidden fetish is our little secret, and we want to fulfill it real bad. Get off with a well-hung stud. Enjoy uninhibited, raunchy fun. We're greased for action, so call now.
All right.
We're waiting.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's just a fun thing.
Crystal meth loose, nothing but ho.
It's only a milkshake.
Assholes.
That was beautiful, Precious.
Timmy Boo.
Timmy Boo.
My big, fat, nasty ass in a thong.
Bitch, 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 bitch.
Away.
My sweet turd. My sweet turd.
Oh, hey, freaks. Tim Henson with you back for the Tuesday edition of Distorted View Daily. We've got an extended program for you sideshow freaks. Sextastic Tuesday for everyone. I'm alive. It's going to be a good show. Yes, I'm sorry there was no program yesterday. There was no podcast, no DVDA. I was feeling very sick. And I've got pictures of my toilet bowl to prove it. Yes, I was throwing up from my ass pretty much all day. And as scary as that is, and as shitty as I felt, I couldn't help but think, wow, this is really going to kickstart my diet. I always feel that. Like, if I have a really good, and by good I mean explosive bowel movement, I think, wow, I had to have lost a pound or two there. So I'm always – and plus, I enjoy shitting. I really do. I love sitting on the toilet. I love squeezing. I really love producing bowel movement. So I remember when I was surfing on those Animea live journal communities, there were some girls – who also shared this opinion that, you know, shitting is a good way to lose weight. As a matter of fact, I did a Google search again because, you know, I've been banned from most Animea communities. These fucking anorexic bitches know all about Distorted View and know all about me, and they don't think I'm entertaining at all. I'm a monster, apparently, to them. So I've been banned. But I've been on some, like, you know, like weight loss forums, exercise forums. This one that I'm looking at right now is a biking forum. People who are into bicycling, and there's a community here. This is one of the topics in the forum. Is the flu a good way to kickstart a diet? I say yes, and I'm not the only one. Big Rider says, I was thinking about hanging around people with the flu. I could lose 10 pounds in a couple of days. The flu is better than doing ab crunches if you get a really good strain that gives you the dry heaves. Thank God I didn't have the dry heaves this time. Last time I got the flu, I was puking up a storm. This time, though, I was just, you know, shitting. Someone replied, I'm down a good 4.5 pounds in 48 hours. I have a very accurate doctor's scale with the weights and the sliders, too. And then he gives a little thumbs up icon. Pedalfoot replied, a few miserable days for 10 pounds is totally worth it. How miserable? See, everyone agrees. Getting the flu is the best way to kickstart a diet. JP replies, yeah, baby. I'm just back in action after a full metal GI thing. I think I took in a solid 1,000 calories over 3 days. Not a whole lot of training in those days. Well, of course not. You're bedridden pretty much. So there you go. There is an upside to the flu and diarrhea in general. So that's what I've been dealing with. I feel much better today, though, and I'm able to eat solid foods. And actually, I didn't lose any weight, unfortunately. I swear to God, I thought, you know, I shit a good 4 or 5 times when it was just like a huge explosion. And just to describe the type of bowel movement that I had, and I don't know if you've ever had this kind before, but I took a massive shit, right? And then I used a bunch of toilet paper, you know, because it's wet and wild and everything. You're, you know, you really got to take care of your ass. And my butt was raw after I was done wiping. But so I used a lot of toilet paper. And when I looked down before I flushed, all I could see was toilet paper. I couldn't even see the shit anymore because it was all, you know, liquid and there was nothing there. But when I flushed the toilet, boom, it was like a cloud of brown just filled the toilet. It was kind of spectacular. I really should have took some video for you. So that was my bowel movement. Let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. Enough of this shit talk. I got a Classique edition today, and I was trying to find a good story for you. And then I ran across one. You know, Corey wrote a bunch of great Sextastic Tuesday stories. And then some other listeners got jealous. And one of my African-American listeners at the time decided to write a very racist story. And so I want to play it for you today. You get to hear me as a stereotypical black person. I use my black person voice. Oh, mammy. That voice. Look at my 1920s black person voice. All right. So let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic. Lick my stink box.
All right, here we go. The show had been especially good this evening. Tim was in high spirits throughout the performance, and the audience was raucous with praise and amusement. Back in his trailer, Tim wiped the black off of his face. As usual, a small part of him died during cleanup. He always felt free in blackface, as if he had truly inherited the carefree spirit of the Negro. That's probably why his performances were so well received. It was always a shame to go back to the stifling proprietous life of a... What the hell's that? Proprietous life of a white man. Never heard of that word. Jeremy, stop using big words you know I won't be able to pronounce. I know that's the only reason you threw that in there. Tim tramped back to his lonely, modest abode. While into his adulthood, he had never acquired the company of a woman. This story, the Tim in this story's not me, is it? It's a fairly common name, and let's face it, this sounds nothing like me. Dressing up in blackface, I mean, how preposterous. I've done it. All right, He had never acquired the company of a woman. He felt such a thing to be an obligation, yet he couldn't figure out why he hadn't much interest in finding one. All Tim had to come home to was his nigger, Petey. Owning such a small home and nothing in the way of property, Tim hadn't had much need for a slave, but Petey was a gift from his uncle, and Tim decided to keep him around. He actually enjoyed Petey's company. Petey was small, not much use for field work, if there were ever any need for it, but rather lithe. He knew his way around the kitchen, though, and would concoct fantastic meals that the two would share at the same table. Petey also had a wonderful voice and would brighten Tim's spirits with... Oh, Jesus. Damn it, Jeremy! Here he goes, adding another big word for me. I know this one, though. Mellifluous. Haha. That's an SAT word right there. It means sweet, or smooth. How many times am I going to get derailed by big words in this story? Stupid Jeremy. All right, yes, he would brighten Tim's spirits with a mellifluous Negro song during Tim's periodic bouts of melancholy, as well as help him hone his minstrel act. Sometimes he'd even helped him to sleep with a lullaby. Even without a plantation or a stately manor, Tim had certainly found good use for his nigger. Again, the author of the story is black, so I'm allowed to say nigger. Nigger, nigger, nigger. It's all written for me. The black guy wanted me to say it. He wrote it specifically for me. Yes, today, however, Tim dreaded returning home to Petey. Oh no, what happened? A fight, maybe? The night before, as Petey had sang him to sleep and leaned over to kiss him on his forehead, as he sometimes does, Tim instead grabbed Petey's head and kissed him on the lips! Petey leapt back, horrified, and ran back to his room. Tim was flush with shame. He had no idea what would bring him to do something like that. To come upon a fellow as if the fellow were a woman. And a nigger at that! I do give credit to Jeremy for discovering an untapped type of porn. We've never done racist erotic fiction. Congratulations, Jeremy. Here's to the first of hopefully many.
Nigger lover.
Yes, that's next week's story. The novel based on the hit movie. All right, it was silly, though, the thought of having apprehension about facing your own slave, property that you own. Tim remembered his place and marched into his house, attempting to drown his domestic tension with memories of his triumphs from today's show. Upon entering, he smelled the wonderful aroma of Petey's cooking, a good sign that everything seemed to be normal. But he entered the kitchen, and what he saw shocked him. Petey was standing next to the pot on the fire, stirring. A familiar sight, however, this time, Petey was completely naked! Petey turned to Tim. Massa Henson...
Oh, man.
Massa Henson, you home already? Petey, you're naked! Yes, sir. I do...
This is so wonderful.
Yes, sir. I do this for you, Massa Henson. Does you like it? Did he like it? Petey's body was taut and smooth. The fire illuminated his lustrous, ebony complexion. His beautiful, long penis grew even longer with each passing second as he gazed into Tim's eyes. And his buttocks, his firm, round, high, full buttocks aroused Tim like he'd never been aroused before. Yes, he liked it. Tim approached Petey almost in a daze. He slid his large white hands over Petey's tender midnight frame. Midnight frame. He took in Petey's familiar aroma, which was pleasant, contrary to what he heard about Negroes. He buried his lips within Petey's and devoured them sloppily. Finally, Timothy disrobed himself and pressed Petey to his own naked body while caressing him and kissing his forehead. Timothy slid his hands down to Petey's buttocks and gave them a squeeze. He then slid a single finger to his moist anus and massaged it until his fingertips slipped into the tight hole. It felt wonderful to be in such an intimate position with Petey. He drove his finger as deep as it would go and worked it around as Petey shuddered with pleasure. But this only awakened Timothy's appetite for Petey's hole more. Tim spun Petey around and guided him to the floor onto his stomach. From there, Tim kneeled down and met Petey's behind with his face. He parted the buttocks with his hands and unashamedly took a big whiff. Tim's eyes watered with lusty delight and then went to bury his face in Petey's dusky mounds. Tim lapped voraciously at Petey's anus with his tongue. Petey gasped and grabbed at the floor. Oh, Lordy! Finally, after Tim had doused Petey's hole with his own saliva, he rose and readied his prick to enter it. Tim's penis was small, thank you, but sensitive, and he stuttered a moan as he slid it into Petey. He held it there for a second, taking in the feeling of being inside of his Petey, and then started grinding. Gently, as Petey's slight body convinced him was appropriate, Petey, however, surprised Tim as he started bucking wildly up and down Tim's member. It was as if he'd lapsed into some sort of primitive African frenzy, and Timothy loved it. Petey's eyes rolled back in his head, and he started uttering lengthy, unbroken moans. His tiny behind slammed against Timothy's broad pelvis with arousing, rhythmic slapping sounds. Suddenly, Petey stopped moaning and asked, Massa Henson, do's you love me? Timothy was taken back. His body still followed the motions of sodomy, but the question sent his mind reeling. He never thought about love, but with the question put forth, well, he was certain that he felt affection for Petey. He appreciated having him around and even enjoyed talking to him. And now, in this moment where he had Petey's body to himself, it satisfied him like nothing else had before. Yes, of course he loved Petey. Yes, he loved a fellow. Yes, he loved a nigger. I've turned into some sort of ghetto freak.
Ghetto Freaks explodes on the screen with excitement never before shown in a motion picture. Ghetto Freaks exposes the sensuous facts of taking over a white commune and turning the white chicks into soul sisters.
All right, finishing up with the story here. Timothy reached underneath Petey's abdomen and raised him up with him as they stood. Tim was careful to keep himself inside him, even as they erected themselves. Tim took advantage of this position to caress Petey's frame with one hand as he massaged his large penis with the other. Petey turned around to gaze into Tim's hazel eyes, and their lips met again.
Tim suddenly felt Petey's penis throbbing in his grip and then felt Petey's warm juices ooze down over his hand. Tim then wrapped his arms around Petey's torso and emptied himself into Petey while panting and shuddering. He kept his embrace for moments, and he basked in the satisfaction of the coupling. With it now fully realized, Timothy appreciated the unconventional relationship he had with Petey. The minuscule interest he had with sharing his life with a Southern Belle had completely faded now, and he happily looked forward to the rest of his life with his little nigger fellow. The end.
Yeah, that is your Sextastic Tuesday for June 19th, 2012, brought to you by our amazing friends at AdamandEve.com. They have got an exceptional deal for each and every one of my freaky deekies. For a limited time, get 50% off just about any item, plus three free adult DVDs that you get to choose. You'll also get a mystery gift, and all of this you'll be receiving with free shipping. You're not going to have to worry about any shipping and handling charges, all for using coupon code DV. At checkout. You can also try coupon code FREAK. I know a lot of you have already used coupon code FREAK. If it doesn't work for you, use coupon code DV. It's very simple. Pick out something you like, add it to your cart. When you check out, there's a little box for a promo code. Enter DV or FREAK, whatever, and you'll automatically see your savings. Now, I just read a story involving the love between a black and a white. Maybe this got your juices flowing and you want some interracial fucking. Sure, why not? AdamandEve.com has you covered. I just did a search for black and I came up with a bunch of wonderful DVD titles such as Housewives Gone Black 11. It's a very successful series. Black Dick Moan. That's a 4-hour compilation. Our First Black Dick. Long Dong Black Kong. Also, Real Black Lesbians, and my personal favorite, Black Poles in Dark Holes. Maybe you don't just want to watch some black action. Maybe you want to feel it. May I interest you in the Flash Brown Black Cock Addiction Dildo? Sure, why not? It looks shellacked. It's very shiny. It's a big black dildo. It's 8 inches around, 9 inches long, 2.5 inches wide. It's $89.95, which seems like a lot for a dildo, but it's a massive black dildo. Use coupon code FREAK and get it at 50% off. That, now you're at, look at that. That's a reasonable cock price right there. Yes, go to AdamandEve.com right now. Use coupon code FREAK or DV at checkout for 50% off just about any item. Three free adult DVDs and a mystery gift. Again, AdamandEve.com. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted up, fucked up news right now. Not a member of the Distorted Views Sideshow? Shame on you. It's only $6.99 a month or $66.99 a year. For that price, you get full access to the entire archive of shows. Been at this since December 2004. Plus, every week we do extended shows like the one I have for you today. You'll probably get another 15 or 20 minutes of DV. Plus, on Thursdays, we do exclusive shows. All of the DVDA video casts are archived only on the Sideshow, so if you want to see them, you gotta sign up right now. SuperFreakSideshow.com. Help support the program. All right, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, this one comes from Georgia. Walmart loss prevention officers believe two women sought in connection with a June 9th theft at a Hamilton Mill Walmart are part of a group believed responsible for a series of similar crimes, which have taken place along the eastern seaboard from Virginia to Florida, our most fucked up state. Gwinnett County Police were called to the Sardi's Church Road store after a manager discovered $841 missing from one of the registers. All right. Loss prevention officers reviewed video surveillance footage and noticed two women making a purchase at the register in question. The video showed one of the women reaching into the cash drawer and removing money on two separate occasions during the transaction. What the fuck? The woman would then return some of the money to the clerk while pocketing the rest. What was going on here? Well, the clerk was not available for questioning while police were at the scene, but the store manager said the clerk explained that one of the two women had mentioned something about the bills being very pretty.
My precious.
Right? $100 bills.
That's mine.
All right. Yeah, she mentioned something about the bills being very pretty, and she wanted to look at them because money was boring looking where she came from. Now, I've seen, like, money from other countries, and it's way more interesting and colorful than, you know, boring old green dollars here in the U.S., you know what I mean? Like, our currency is, you know, boring. You know, as a matter of fact, in some countries, like, you know, like, their coins are different shapes. They're like in hexagons and shit. We just have round coins. It's boring. Even their coinage is more interesting. Shapes. Pentagon-shaped money or something. It's really quite, it's bullshit, you know. Isn't that like cashiering 101? That's the first thing, you know, you learn. Don't let people, you know, stick their hand in your cash register and take your money or even look at it or handle it for a while. You know, the same thing kind of happened with my mom when she was working at Drug Mart. Let me give her a call here. She can tell you the story. I'm sure she's excited about that. Yeah, my mom was robbed at gunpoint. That's right. It's very, very dangerous in Ashtabula.
Hello?
Mom.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is your son, Tim.
Oh, you sound different. You sound different.
Well, you know, I'm recording my show, so I got to sound professional.
Oh, okay. What's been all that shit that come out of you, huh? It sounds different.
Oh, you heard about... How do you know about my shit problems?
Well, you left me a message.
Oh, that's right. Whenever I have diarrhea, I call my mom immediately. Mommy, I'm sick. I can't stop pooping. Yes, I did. I did leave a message for you in the midst of my bowel movements. I'm feeling much better, though.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, listen, I'm reading a story.
Okay.
About this woman at Walmart. She was a cashier at Walmart.
Okay.
And someone stole $841 from her cash register. You know what they did to her?
What'd they do to her?
I don't know. They acted foreign, I think, and they said, "Ooh, you American money, so bright, so interesting. Can I look at it? You know, our money from where I come from is very boring." And so she grabbed money out of the cash register and looked at the money, and then gave it back to the cashier, but didn't give her all the money back. Like she pocketed some of it, and that reminded me of when you got robbed at gunpoint at Drug Mart.
Yes. Stupid me.
Yeah. It really wasn't at gunpoint, was it?
I don't know what you would call me. I don't know what the hell I was going to do after I ran after the stupid guy.
Yeah, you ran. That's like, you're not supposed to do that. You know?
Well, that's what I was told afterwards. They said, don't you ever do that again.
Yeah, you almost got in trouble. So wait a second. Let's start at the beginning. First of all, it wasn't at gunpoint, right?
Oh, no. Matter of fact, it was just me. Up front, and another girl, she was in the photo thing, which she was doing her thing,
okay.
And she didn't even know what the heck was going on, but this thing came through. Well, I didn't have a problem, but whenever anybody come by my register, I would never look at them. I would just do what I had to do, and, you know, and just, I never looked at the person.
So you don't like to make eye contact with people.
You're right, but anyway,
that sounds like me. I think that's where I get it from. I don't like to be around, I don't like people, I don't want to be around people, I don't want to interact with people. So I think if I was in your position, I would do the same thing. I would just take them, I wouldn't even look at them. Just take their money and do my business.
But I knew it was a tall person. But I never looked at the. I didn't know if it was a guy. I don't know if it was a guy dressed up like a lady, or I don't know. Really, I don't know what the heck it was.
It might have been a guy. Wait, this might have been someone in drag.
It might have been.
You.
It might have been. It might have been a guy in a dress or whatever. Because when I ran after this person, it had like a lady's blouse. Like, you know, I don't think a guy.
You pay less attention to people than me. I would at least know if it's a man or a woman.
I don't know what the hell it was.
It's either
anyway.
A man or a woman or a transvestite.
Well, whatever it was. I wish I would have looked at him now, or her, or whatever it was.
So wait a second.
Anyway,
how did they steal? How did they take the money? So you're not looking at them.
This is what happened.
First of all, what did they buy? What were they going to buy?
Well, this guy or girl or whatever it was come through my line and just had a pack of gum.
Mm-hmm.
So
who just buys one pack of gum? That's a red flag right there.
Well, I didn't know. A lot of people come in and buy gum, and that's it. A lot of people.
What do I know?
Anyway, they put the gum down the counter, okay? And I, you know, rang it up and everything. And as I opened up my drawer, or as the drawer opened up, this person just reached right over and grabbed all the 20s that I had in my drawer.
Wow.
Yeah. So it kind of like, at first I was kind of stunned because what the hell? What was he doing? What's going on? So he took the money out of my drawer, and he ran out, and me, the stupid idiot me, followed right after him.
You ran after him, right?
I ran after him.
I have never seen you run in my entire life.
Yeah, well, you should have seen me run because that was my drawer. I didn't want him taking my money.
Right.
I was going to be short. My drawer was going to be short. That's all I could think of. Oh, my gosh, you said they're going to take all this money. What am I going to have to pay this all back? Anyway, I ran after it, grabbed the back of I pulled his shirt. Actually, I pulled his shirt.
So you got it. You ran up to him. You actually caught up with him.
Yeah, I did. I was right behind him. I pulled his shirt. But he kind of like, well, he, of course, he got away because he shrugged his shoulder like, you know, and then I, you know, let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the person, someone that I, that Craig knew, was coming into the store. And right away, he got the license plate number because he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
He'd be running after this person or whatever.
Track and field star,
and
Patty Lou Henson.
Yeah, he got the license plate number. But, you know, they took me in the back and they told me to sit down for a while. I said, I'm all right. I'm fine. So, like, I called the cops and everything, and he came. The cops, they didn't really do anything. I mean, I don't know if he got the information from the other guy, the license, which he probably did. But I've never heard anything else what happened. They never told me what happened, you know, if they caught the guy or nothing was said after that. So I just let it go. And I didn't, you know, that was my,
Didn't the manager call you, leave a message saying, we're not going to make you pay. We're not going to make you pay back the money that was stolen.
No, well, they never said anything about it. I never asked either. I just assumed that. No, they never said anything about, you know, me having to repay them, you know, the money.
No, I thought they left a message on the answering machine and that made you mad or made Dad mad.
What? I don't remember that on the answer. What was that?
The manager left the machine, said, left a message on the machine, said, don't worry, you're not going to have to pay back.
That was after everything was all taken. Yeah. Everything was done.
As if you have to.
Like that? I could have been shot.
I know. They're worried about the money. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're not going to make you pay back the money that was stolen.
No, I didn't have to pay it back or anything. Nothing was said, so I just dropped it and I didn't say nothing.
Well,
yeah, wasn't even in the paper either. I didn't even make the paper.
I wonder how much was stolen. I wonder how much was stolen. And
I don't know. They never told me how much they took.
How much you never figured out how much you were short by?
Oh, no. No, because at the end of the night, we just hand our drawers to the office, and then they count it in the morning.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. So that
I just wanted to call and ask about that because, you know, it kind of relates to the story that I was talking about.
Yeah, well, I didn't hand anybody any money to look at.
Right. You weren't a dummy, you know.
I don't know.
Can I see that money? That looks shiny.
I was just wondering if I would do that, though. You know, I'm so gullible at times. I am, because when we went to this, me and Aunt Teresa went to Speedway. We got two coffees. And so I said, let me pay for it. Okay. So I gave, the lady said, that'll be $10. And I said, oh, okay.
For two Speedway coffees?
Yeah, $10 for two coffees. I should have known. Now, that's all gullible. I would have given her the money too.
Well, you know, that's not out of the question. Like, if you go to like Starbucks or something like that, two coffees would be around that. But I mean, Speedway's like a gas station.
Exactly.
It's probably like 99 cents or something.
No,
you better be careful.
That's how I am.
Yeah.
That's the way I am. So I'm very, very gullible.
Yeah, I'm gonna trick you into giving me money. I'm going to call you and say that I'm in jail. I need you to Western Union me some money.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's, yeah, well, anyway, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Mom, thank you for telling your story.
Oh, that's quite all right.
I'll call you a little bit later, and we'll talk off the air.
Okay. Well, we will. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll
goodbye.
Talk later. Bye-bye.
There you go. There's my mom. Another story for you guys. She was robbed at the drug mart. So there you go. All right. So that's that story. Second story we have for you today. This one comes from Cincinnati. A man who says he was charged with disorderly conduct after using the word crippled to promote a comedian with muscular dystrophy. Claims Cincinnati police. I'm so glad I'm not broadcasting out of Cincinnati. Claims Cincinnati police violated his free speech, and the comedian agrees. So the comedian is even behind this. You know, the comedian says, "Yeah, he said crippled BFD. Who cares?" Forrest Thomer, or Tomer, something, of Cold Springs, Kentucky, is to appear in a Cincinnati courtroom on the charge on Wednesday. He was cited by Cincinnati police last month at a park after he and comedian Ali Bruner say he asked people if they wanted to laugh at the crippled girl. Are you guys ready to laugh at the crippled? Yeah. All right. The question, it's totally, that's exactly how I would introduce a crippled comedian. All right. Y'all ready to laugh at a gimtard? Come on. Give it up for the re-re. The question was not intended to demean his friend, but to promote her next comedy show and her AllieBruner.com website, the two said Monday. Bruner, who is in a wheelchair because of the muscle disorder, said she would approach people after Thomer or Tomer, ask them the question, tell a joke, and talk about her next performance. She also would record some of the public's responses for use on Bruner's website, showing people saying, "I laughed at the crippled girl." I want a t-shirt that says that. "I laughed at the crippled girl." We're going to get shot. Thomer, whatever the fuck you want to, however you want to pronounce that, T-H-O-M-E-R, was cited on May 23rd on a disorderly conduct charge, alleging that he walked into people and shouted obscenities at them. Thomer was asked to stop his behavior, but persisted in yelling and shouting, causing annoyances and alarm to others. Quote, "We were just walking up to people and asking the question. You can't just arrest people or have them arrested just because you don't like what they're saying." So there you go. That's what's going down in Cincinnati. It's a very conservative town. I would not be welcome there. Final story we have for you today. This one comes from India. Police in northern India say they were stunned when a man showed up at a police outpost holding a bloody human head in one hand and a sword in another. That's kind of incriminating. Yeah, like you kind of can figure out what happened here just with, you know, a head in one hand, a sword in the other. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to, you know, figure out what happened. The head was that of the man's daughter. Oh, chopped off because of her indecent behavior. Omesh Oja, deputy superintendent of the district police, said investigators had paraded the head through the village. What? Oh, investigators say the man had paraded the head through the village on his way to the police station. His daughter, Manju Kunwar, was in her 20s and was living with her parents after divorcing her husband 2 years ago. Her father accused her of acting indecently with other men. Authorities say Kunwar's mother is a farmer who was working in the fields at the time and was too distraught to talk. By the way, for you ladies out there thinking about relocating to India, I would strongly suggest you think about that a little further. This month, India topped the Thomas Reuters Foundation poll as the worst place to be a woman among the top 19 economies in the world. The foundation cited abuse, killings, and discrimination on a scale unparalleled in other developed nations. So there you go. It's a great place to be if you have a vagina. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails. Get the hell out of here. All right, let's do a couple voicemails here. By the way, if you are new to the show or I've never heard your voice, why not call in and say hello? 206-666-4463. Also, don't forget about DVDA. That's our live video show. I'm always trying to do different things, and it never works out because people are just set in their own fucking ways. And if I don't do everything exactly the same fucking way every single fucking stupid time, people get angry. I'm bored. Why are you doing this? Do something else. I try, you know, on Friday's DVDA, I was giving away prizes. And I came up with a fun game where I would play, you know, video clips you know, weird video clips, stuff that I do all the time on DVDA. That's what DVDA is. I play all sorts of weird video clips. But then I would ask you questions that either directly or indirectly had to do. So I'd play, like, for instance, you know, one of the questions, I played a video of a homeless person eating live rats, right? That's distorted view material. And then the question goes like this. It's no surprise that over in China, it's common to eat rats. But these Crasians are known to eat all sorts of weird shit. Which one of the following is not a well-known dish in China? And then you'd have to answer, you know, there's multiple choice here. So A, chicken without sexual life. 2, goat genital soup. 3, fried goat intestines. Or 4, stuffed pork rectum. And you had to pick out the one that's not real, a real dish. There, 3 of those dishes were real. 1 of those is made up. If you said stuffed pork rectum, you'd be right. That's the one that I made up. So it was a fun game, right? You got 5 questions, 5 videos, and you know, if you get, you know, 3 out of 5, then you won. And I thought it was a good time, but then I look over in the chat room and people are bitching. I'm sorry. I don't know what to, I literally don't know what to do anymore on DVDA with you people. But I think it was a good time. All right, let's do some voicemails here.
Hey, Timmy Boo, it's Rose Coleman calling in.
Speak the fuck up.
Now I finished listening to the Tuesday podcast with the Jurassic Park porn, Sextastic Tuesday, sure. And the 50 Shades of Grey readings. And I think you should keep doing that, man. My girlfriend's loving it when you read that. And also, you played a song at the end of the podcast by OK Go.
Yes.
And I've heard of them, but I never actually listened to them. And totally took me off guard. It was Do What You Want.
Yeah,
I think,
love
was
that song.
The song that you played. But yeah, man, keep up the great work, and we'll keep listening. Talk to you soon.
You know, we play a couple, you know, Treacherous, I think there's a song called Treacherous Friends that we also play at the end of the show occasionally. Maybe I'll play that today, another OK Go cut.
Hey, Tim, Haley's Comet calling up about the bleach enemas to treat autism that you recently read a story about.
Uh-huh.
MMS is not the bleach enemas themselves, it's just a term for the bleach solution that is being used in order to to provide this quackery. It's been around for a number of years. The use of it to try and treat autism is new, however. Normally, the quacks advocating this garbage claim that it cures AIDS, malaria.
A bleach AIDS treatment?
And a number of other diseases. And the fact that the bleach makes you sick and makes you vomit is what they consider proof that it's working. So they have
it's getting all the evil out.
Increase the dosage when it's making you ill. Jiggle.
Yeah, thank you very much. So autism is just the newest illness that bleach fixes, correct?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, are you still playing this, Tim? Jiggle.
All right.
Hey,
he's wondering why I'm still playing his voicemail.
Hey, Tim, Tone Deaf Sean here.
I am
Hey, you know how that Disney wouldn't let that girl in dress as Tinkerbell? I think I know why they won't let adults in dress as their character. Because it'll fucking turn Disney into, like, a fucking Comic-Con. You have all these fucking nerds dressing up as fucking Disney characters all the time. It'll turn into DisneyCon.
I know, you know, I was talking to someone about that, and they couldn't see the problem with it. And I'm like, she's 15. She's not a little kid dressing up. It's not like a 5 or 6-year-old dressing up like they were. Like a fucking 15-year-old.
Haley. Can you imagine that?
No. I agree with you, Tone Deaf Sean. I don't think people should be dressed. You're right. It would turn fucking Disney World into Comic-Con. And again, you know, if you're a fucking pedophile, you could dress up like, you know, some Disney character and grope all sorts of children. Listen to that.
What? I'm only here 5-21 episode.
Why do people just not talk into the phone? I don't understand.
ADD. It's Mama. You guys don't know me. But responding to your 5-21 episode, yeah, I don't think it's really bad if a white kid puts on blackface and is respectful.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear that. I could barely make it out, but he's saying he agrees with me. It's not that big of a deal if a white kid dresses up in blackface. You know, when I hear it out loud, when I hear some of the stuff that I say out loud, when I repeat it back, it does seem a little offensive. But you have to understand, it was a little kid. He was, you know, supposed to read some Martin Luther King Jr. speech, so he dressed up like him. And, well, if you're going to dress up like Martin Luther King was black.
wasn't white, so why can't you make your face black? That's what he was. I don't know. Call me old-fashioned and racist. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Why don't you guys email me? Show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-66. Oh, God, is it our God?
Ghetto Freaks.
Spread the distortion, STD. Tell all your friends about the podcast. If you are sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, I'll see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday podcast. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Hello, my treacherous friends. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss, as I must, how pleasant it's been. Hello, my treacherous friends. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss, as I must, how pleasant it's been this delight.
Processed cheese, so good it makes me drop to my knees. Processed cheese, dairy farmers love the cows. Oil, water, cheese, wow, processed cheese.